We were talking about how to cultivate a good relationship with our spiritual master, and that involves recognizing the qualities of our teachers, and then also appreciating the good effect that they have upon us. So we talked about the advantages of cultivating a good relationship with a teacher. Okay, so I'll just read through them to remind you before I get to the disadvantages so you don't freak out. Okay, so we get closer to enlightenment and we please all the Buddhas. And remember, all of these advantages come because by having a good relationship with our teacher, then we put into practice what we learn, and thereby the Dharma practice itself benefits our mind. All the harmful forces and misleading friends don't bother us because our mind is clean, clear. We know where we're going and why. Our disturbing attitudes and our very gross behavior diminishes. Wouldn't that be nice? We gain meditative experiences and stable realization. Better than pizza. And we won't lack spiritual teachers in all of our future lives. Again, a very important thing. We won't take a lower rebirth, especially, you know, if you remember your teacher at the time of death. If you practice the teachings well during life, then it eliminates, you know, the cause for lower rebirth. And then to summarize, all of our temporary and ultimate goals are fulfilled by properly relying on a spiritual teacher. By temporary goals, we mean all the advantages that we seek while we're still caught in the cycle of cyclic existence. And ultimate goals, it really means the lasting goals of liberation and enlightenment. Okay, so by relying on a spiritual master, we can actualize these things. Okay, so again, this is predicated on checking up people before accepting them as your teacher. Also, you shouldn't think that, you know, your teacher has to be somebody who sits on a high throne and wears fancy brocade and big hats and beats drums and plays cymbals and has 10,000 people around them. His Holiness always says that, you know, there's many high lamas around. If you have a good connection with them, that's fine. But even if a teacher has a lot of qualities, if you don't have that karmic connection, then, you know, that nothing's going to ignite. He also says that it's actually quite a loss to us if we think, well, you know, the high lamas, these are Buddhas, these I respect, but then the teachers who help us day by day, we just kind of neglect. And so he really encourages people to select their teachers well, according to the teacher's qualifications and your feeling of closeness and your feeling of being able to keep a good relationship with that person, and then also to really practice this in terms of, you know, the individual teachers that guide us day by day and not necessarily the ones that buzz in on the jet Friday and leave Saturday. Okay. And I really, again, saw this very much, you know, in my own experience. I remember living at the monastery and Geshe-la would be teaching us and, you know, day by day, putting up with us, and, you know, he'd try and teach, and I'm not saying this is any reflection, but we were always interrupting him with questions, especially me. Yeah. And, you know, just putting up all the things that go wrong in the monastery, and this person's fighting with that, and the financial problems, and, you know, and, like, sometimes I felt like we really took Geshe-la for granted, and then when a high lama came in, we were all bright and shiny, nice new dancing disciples, you know, but with Geshe-la it was just, you know. But it was actually Geshe-la who took care of us day by day on all the really nitty-gritty things and really helped us along. You know, so I remember that very much what His Holiness had said, you know, just from my own personal experience. Okay, then the disadvantages of improperly relying or abandoning the teacher. So again, this means, you know, getting angry, renouncing the teacher, just kind of saying, I've fed up, I've had it, I can't stand you, I'm breaking off this relationship, you know, and then going around bad-mouthing and being really quite hostile. Okay. So, as I explained before, you know, when we really reflect on the benefits that the teacher gives us in terms of just showing us the Dharma, giving us the whole possibility to make our life meaningful, then if we turn our back and kind of completely throw away that person who gave us the greatest gift in the whole world, it's like we're really denying the gift of the Dharma. It's like we're throwing the gift away as well, you know, and completely giving up everything beneficial that we learn from that person by then, you know, just dismissing that person offhandedly. Okay? So this all these disadvantages are not listed as a way of the lamas to, you know, to get us to be nice, good disciples by threatening us with all these horrible results. But it's rather just information so that we can be aware of the results of our own actions and so that we can then use that knowledge to check up our own attitudes and see if, you know, we're thinking in a way that's going to benefit us or if we're thinking in a way that's going to bring us harm. And that's why these things are said. So it's like showing contempt for all the Buddhas in the sense that, you know, our teacher is a representative of the Buddhas. They teach the same thing that the Buddhas teach. You know, they teach the same practice. So then if we, you know, just have contempt for that person, it's really like having contempt for the Buddha because that person is doing to us or for us exactly what Shakyamuni would do. Yeah. And we'll be reborn in the lower realms for the same number of eons as the number of moments we are angry with our teacher. And again, you know, as I explained, that doesn't mean getting angry, but still you have a stable relationship. It means real anger, but really throwing away the relationship. Okay. And then although we try and practice Tantra, we won't attain enlightenment. Okay. And again, that's just because in the practice of Tantra, it's really important that we try and see everyone and everything as a Buddha and the whole environment as a Pure Land. So if we're trying to see every being as a Buddha, then surely our spiritual master, who the one that gave us the empowerments into the Tantra and opened the doorway to the Tantra, we must try and see as a Buddha. But instead, if we see that person as a rotten apple, you know, then, again, it's completely opposite to the pure view that you're trying to cultivate in Tantra. Okay? So this applies actually to any being. You know, we're supposed to, in the Tantric practice, try and imagine everybody as a Buddha. So if you do that for every being, then you should also, especially for your teacher. Okay? So although we may not all be great Tantric practitioners, I'm giving you this information because sometime in the future, you know, you might take initiation and then, you know, the whole idea of overcoming ordinary appearances and grasping at them and seeing things as pure, then this will be explained more in depth at that time. Then, although we may put great effort into Tantric practice, it will only amount to actualizing a hellish rebirth. Great, you know. Again, because it's like, you know, the person who really was kind to us, if we can't see the kindness of the person who was kind to us, how can we see the kindness of anybody else? And so if you can't see the kindness of anybody, you know, where are you going to wind up in your next life? And also, if you don't practice the teachings as your teacher gave them to you, you can't actualize the results. You only actualize the bad things. Okay, we won't develop any new qualities or city. City means like the realizations or the attainments of the path. And then the qualities and realizations we do have will decline. And again, this comes because we aren't properly following our teacher's instructions. Because the whole point is, you know, the more the higher regard we hold somebody in, the more we're going to follow their instructions. You know, and then the more we disparage somebody, the less we're going to follow what they say. Okay, so if our teacher's teaching us the Dharma, we disparage the teacher, we're going to stop practicing whatever they taught. So this is what happens when we stop practicing. And again, it's not a punishment. Nobody's punishing us. I mean, the Buddhas are compassionate. They certainly don't want us to have harmful results. But it's just cause and effect, you know, the way our own mind works. I mean, when we have a negative state of mind, there's no way we're going to experience a happy result from it. You know, when you're hostile and angry, there's no way you're going to have a good rebirth. Mm-hmm. You know? And then many unwished for things like sickness and calamities will befall us in this life. Okay, that is because, you know, the karma that we create with our spiritual teachers is very strong. You know, so if you have a good relationship, you create a lot, you know, a lot of very good karma. If you have a bad relationship, you create a lot of bad karma, and that can, you know, and both the good karma and the bad karma, because it's created with a powerful object in our life, our spiritual master, that karma can ripen fairly quickly. Okay? That's one of the qualities of karma, that karma created with very strong objects in our life, then that karma can ripen quickly. In future lives, we will roam endlessly in lower realms. Okay, again, because we haven't created the cause to meet the Dharma. Because when we've had the Dharma, we've thrown it away. And we will lack spiritual teachers in future lives. And I think that's a very frightening thing, you know, to think of future lives without having a proper spiritual teacher. Because even if you have, like, all the good, you know, the whole situation to practice, but you don't have a good teacher, what can you do? You know, it's like having the best computer system, but there's nobody to teach you how to use it. Okay, so those are the disadvantages of really, you know, breaking the relationship with our teachers.